O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
3 minutes past the hour, 9 o'clock. Good Saturday morning, everyone, and welcome to the Coach's Corner program here on KGYM. As we're coming away from our studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, Scott Unash with you. Busy, busy day. Football coming up, starting later on with the Hawkeye pregame show at 1 o'clock on the FMs. And then we've got you and I taking on Southern Illinois from Carbondale. That'll be at 5 o'clock on 1600 AM. Iowa postgame show immediately following the game in the FMs, and then we will go to Clemson and Virginia Tech, and then NFL football coming up on Sunday. We're going to talk some football, some golf with you here on the Saturday Morning Coach's Corner program, and we start things off by taking a look back at what happened last night. Some very interesting things on week six of the high school football front. First of all, starting in Class 4A, got to give this, it's not in our area, but this was the fifth highest scoring game in 11-player history last night. They just kept scoring and scoring, and the final score came with the team having the ball last. One, Newton 71, Fort Dodge 70 last night, and what must have been a wild, wild football game last night. 4A from our side of the state, up at the Unidome. Cedar Falls beat Wash last night, 35-6, got an early big lead, and did not look back. Jefferson, a big road win last night. They beat Waterloo West 21-17, only the second loss of the year for the Wahawks. Also last night, Dubuque Senior doubled up Dubuque Hempstead 28-14. It was Bettendorf over Clinton 49-10. Davenport Central, big over City High 63-28 last night. Iowa City West went down to Burlington and shut out the Greyhounds 49-0. And Prairie, no problem with Ottumwa last night, 56-7. Class 3A from last night, Xavier shut out Independence 37-0 last night. It was Charles City over Vinton Shelsburg 36-20. Benton Community came from behind to beat South Tama 31-29. Waverly Shellrock beat Decorah in a big showdown game 17-7. One of the games you heard last night, Marion beat Center Point Urbana 34-8, 2 100-yard runners last night for the Indians. Assumption shut out Maquoketa 41-0. Wallert over Central DeWitt 38-13, and West Delaware stays on top of the district 35-6 over Clear Creek Amana. Other game you heard last night, Solon dismantled Fort Madison 62-0 last night. Class 2A scores from week six last night. Cascade over Olwine 59-14. Union big over Waterloo Columbus 48-7. Waukon over Monticello 51-27. Comanche snapped a long losing streak. They beat Northeast Goose Lake 20-18. West Liberty, their first district loss, they fell to Minneapolis 21-20. Mount Vernon rolls on 49-0 over Anamosa, and number one Williamsburg beats Mid Prairie 49-13 last night. Class 1A scores, Maquoketa Valley over Clayton Ridge 39-14. North Cedar shut out Jessup 7-0. West Branch got a last-minute field goal to beat Durant 24-23. Highland gets by Van Buren 13-12. The showdown in District 4 last night wasn't much of a showdown. Regina 49, Wilton 7, winning their 50th straight district game last night. Class A scores, Albernette over North Lynn. They shut them out 46-0 at Albernette last night. East Buchanan rolled on Postville 70-15 last night. It was Wapsie Valley over Lisbon 38-22. Belle Plaine big over GMG 51-8 last night. Also was Montezuma over Winfield Mountain Union, that by a score of 35-0. And 8-player scores from last night. It was Tripolo over Central City 57-20 last night. Baxter beat Midland 70-66. Iowa Valley over Springville 52-14. And Lone Tree over Waco 62-25 last night. So those were the scores from week six of the high school football season. Again, Iowa and Michigan State will play up at East Lansing. Of course, Iowa State played on Thursday night, and the UNI Panthers in action. They'll be down at Carbondale to take on Southern Illinois coming up, and that will be a 5 o'clock pregame. We'll take a quick break, come back, talk some football and some golf with you here in the Coach's Corner, so stay with us. More to come right after this.
First Federal Credit Union is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics. Even against the toughest opponent, First Federal Credit Union always believes it's possible. That goes for banking, too. We have solutions that are designed to help you succeed. For over 80 years, we have been providing solutions for families in the corridor. From great products to outstanding service, you will discover it is possible with First Federal Credit Union. Visit us at firstfedcu.com. First Federal Credit Union, member NCUA, equal housing lender.
This is the sound of money. So is this. And this. It may not sound like money to you, but it will, because you'll get paid while you learn to do it all. That's how the apprenticeship program at Carpenters Union, Local 308, Local 1260, and Local 678 works. You earn while you learn. So, no student debt. Check out carpentersunionapprenticeship.com. This is how you build a career.
Bob Bobbergear likes to act like he's just a regular guy, just like you and me. But who is the real Bob Bobbergear? Bob Bobbergear doesn't want you to know that when he breaks his iPhone, he throws it in the garbage and buys a new one. Throws it out and buys a new one. Ever heard of Digital Doc Bob Bobbergear? They'll fix your broken iPhones or Samsung Galaxies for a fraction of the cost for replacing them. So who is the real Bob Bobbergear? Iowa can't afford to find out.
Paid for by the Friends of Digital Doc, Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Back with you on the Coach's Corner on this Saturday morning at 9 minutes past the hour of 9 o'clock as we get ready to talk some football. Speaking of football, more games coming up this week for you as we get into week 7. Hard to believe that already, but a pair of games coming your way. Suddenly a very interesting game and a very important game for Jefferson on Thursday night as they host Waterloo East. Jayhawks right in the thick of things for a playoff spot now. And then on Friday night, we'll be over at Linmar as it'll be the Lions hosting Prairie. That is a big game. Both those teams 1-1 in district play right now. And then on the that'll be on 1600 AM, by the way, on Friday night, the Prairie Linmar game. And the two FMs will have Marion at Clear Creek and Mana coming up this week for you right here in KGYM. Thursday night, we were out at Kingston, the big 50th anniversary party. And Brian White here, the Kennedy football coach, to join us as the Cougars got the win on Thursday night, 38-28. And as you eloquently put it in the paper, you guys, you had one job to do as far as everything was concerned about the 50th anniversary, and that was to win the football game, and mission accomplished, right?
Yeah, that's right. You know, there's a lot of hoopla around homecoming, and you have the parade, and you have this and that going on, and you have the powder puff football, and you have the dance, and you know, and this year we had the 50th anniversary, and they started planning for this thing for over, you know, a year now, and I just kept telling the kids all week, our job is to win a football game. That is our job in the whole grand scheme of things, and so we just focused on the football side of it, and you know, wanted to go out and take care of business, and we did for 3.5 quarters, and then that last half of the last quarter, you know, slipped a little bit, but overall, you know, a good night for us.
Yeah, and well, you're right there in homecoming. You got two young men, two young sons that are out there. You had to do all the dad stuff last night.
Oh, so. Go this side of town, that side of town, get pictures taken with these people and that. You know, it's there's a lot to it.
Yeah, and it's a hectic thing. So it's a good thing you had a Friday off.
It's a good thing we had a Friday off. That's correct.
I'd get that all taken care of. Well, you had to be happy. First thing, you were out without Caron Hendred on Friday night, and really didn't miss a beat because Justin Johnson stepped in, Michael Watkins stepped in, and Marion had two 100-yard runners last night. You just missed it on Thursday night.
Well, you know, we said this at the beginning of the season. We felt good about our running back position with, you know, Caron and Keyshawn Allers, and unfortunately both of those kids are out right now. And so, you know, we just have other guys step up, like you said, Michael and Justin Johnson and Cade Parker. We ran quite a bit at tailback as well, and a real good fullback in Lane Toll. And so we're in good shape in our backfield and feel comfortable giving it to any of those kids. And and so that's a nice thing to have. And Caron will probably be back this week, and we're looking at Keyshawn coming back the week after. And then all of a sudden that stable running back starts to get pretty full, and you're going to have to figure out, you know, which piece to put where and how to utilize them best. But, you know, that's a good problem to have.
Yeah, and keep them all happy.
Keep them happy. Yeah, that's, you know, 17, 18-year-old kids. That's pretty tough these days.
And then you throw it. BJ had 76 yards of running and did a really good job, I think, of recognizing what the defense gave him. And when he had to run, he did a good job.
And we talk about that a lot, you know, force things with your feet. And when we were sprinting out or bootleg, you know, his first two reads are downfield, but his third read is to run. And if there's green in front of him to take off and run, and he's getting better at that, and certainly did a good job on Thursday night, recognizing the fact that they were dropping back in a little bit of man coverage, and if they're in man, then nobody accounts for him, so take off running. So he's you know, last year he was a pretty good runner. We utilized him in that case or in that way, and this year he's, you know, he's starting to get the hang of it again.
It's good to have Justin Johnson back there, and he's just a strong young man and a strong runner back there.
He's like a Mack truck, and he doesn't want to go down easily. And furthermore, he's going to deliver a blow at the end of the run. You know, he's not taking shots; he's delivering. And there were a few times where, you know, he ran some kids over, and that's the kind of mentality that he brings. And that's a great mentality when you run an I formation. You know, when you have a tailback that wants to pound people and a fullback that'll take on a linebacker, that's a good combination. So, you know, fortunately for us, he's back, and like I said, we're going to have a lot of pieces to try and put in place going forward the next 3 weeks.
Well, and as far as receiving, B.J. White found five different receivers, and you got Derek Diggins back now, and anytime you can put an athlete like that out there with the leaping ability that he has, there's another weapon.
And he's just now starting to come into his own. We've had some really good practices lately with him, and figuring out exactly how to run the routes and where the ball's going to be. And, you know, he got his first touchdown on Friday night, or Thursday night. That was a big deal. You know, it was a great play. I was actually in audible we saw something that they were giving us the quick slant route, and so BJ audibled to him. He ran it perfect and hit him right in the numbers. He caught the ball for his first touchdown.
Yeah, we noticed that because he gave that audible signal there, and good job being on the same page right there. One guy, and we'll get to it on the defensive side, but you mentioned Cade Parker, and when you give a linebacker the football, they just enjoy that. So, and he looks like he just enjoys running.
That kid is something else. He's a phenomenal talent, and what a lot of people don't know about Cade is he's fast. He holds our freshman record in the 200-meter dash at Kennedy High School, and he can run. He can run stride for stride with Caron. And so when you have a kid with that kind of speed, and it's obvious on defense because he can go sideline to sideline, but he can go, you know, north-south on a football field with the ball in his hands. And he's another type of those bruising runners that wants to deliver at the end, and he can run, makes good cuts, and he is a nice asset to have, but we have to, you know, use him sparingly because his role for us is making tackles on the defensive side. But if we can get him in a series here and there on offense, then that's a bonus for us.
Right, and talking about the defensive side of things a little bit, and it was interesting, and it's probably an unfair comparison, but I think it was 4 years ago, we looked at Mo Blue at Wash when Orion was was a pup like that, and he just smiled from ear to ear and said, "This guy's going to be a good one." And I think that's kind of the same thing with Cade Parker right now.
I've got a feeling you're going to see Cade Parker in a D1 jersey in 4 years. He's got all the tools. He's a strong kid. He's a smart kid. You know, he's a very good wrestler, so he's a tough kid. And he's just a good football player. He's a hard-nosed throwback football player, and he's got all the tools. And, yeah, the bonus for us is we still have him for two more years after this one. So it's exciting.
Yeah, and doing a really good job. You don't see many middle linebackers playing 4A football as a sophomore.
No, not at all, and because it's a tough place to play. But, you know, he's a phenomenal kid. And, you know, his dad, Jamie Parker, was All-State football player for us. And I think, you know, in the back of his mind, Cade, he would like to be, you know, one of the first father-son All-State football players up on our wall. And you know, he's got ways to go. But he certainly has his goals set pretty high, and like I said, just a great football player.
Probably learns from some of the upperclassmen, though. And one Brock Remitko, one guy out there, and we called him kind of the Swiss Army knife for you the other night. And he's outside, he's inside when he has to be. He's one of those guys who can go all over the defense.
And you have to have a kid like that to be successful. You have to have a kid that can play multiple positions, that can adapt, that can lead by example. And Brock is all those things. He's having a great year for us. We had to move him inside a couple of weeks ago because of some injuries, and now we're healthy again. And so we got to move back outside. And you're right, he is kind of a Swiss Army knife. You know, he punted for us on Thursday night because Mike's ankle was a little bit tweaked, so Brock punted for us, and he's a good kid, and he plays hard, and certainly a huge asset to our defense.
Well, and I know you were a little frustrated, and Coach Knock was a little frustrated with the defense at the end of the game. But you got to give PJ and Lindmar a lot of credit because they found something, and they kept going to it, and it worked.
Yeah, and we were just wanted to get our offense on the field in the fourth quarter. If we could just get our offense on the field, and they executed two pretty good onside kicks there at the end. You know, we got up 38-14, and give them credit. They drove the length of the field. I think they might have one or two third down and a fourth down situation there, and we just couldn't get off the field. And the quarterback did a good job of scrambling and finding kids downfield, and we just couldn't get off. And then, they get that onside kick, and it's the same scenario. You know, it's about a 50-yard field, and we couldn't get off the field again. Then they get the next onside kick, and, you know, it was a snowball thing. I don't think we ever panicked on the sideline that, you know, we were in fear of losing anything. But what did take place was, and this is unfortunate, but in high school football in 4A, the playoff first tiebreaker is plus 17 points, and it's kind of confusing. But once they got below that 17 point threshold, we were kind of in a tough position, and in order to give us our best opportunity to qualify for the playoffs, we had to try and score again at the end to get back to 17. I think Cedar Falls last year was in that same boat, and they missed out on the playoffs because they beat a team by 14 instead of 17. And, we were fully aware of that on the sideline. We were aware of it when that second onside kick took place, and I don't think a lot of people knew that, and I know it caused a lot of people to be upset at the end of the game, but we had to try and score again to get that plus 17, and we didn't, and unfortunately I think it caused some hard feelings with not necessarily Lindmar's coaching staff. They understood at the end, I think, but a lot of people in the stands just didn't know what was going on.
Well, and we knew what was happening up there. I mean, I looked over at Jeff Johnson, and he said the same thing, because you got it, and it was Cedar Falls, I think, two teams.
Was it two?
Last year lost out because of the 17-point tiebreaker, and it's just that's the way they determine things in the playoff scenario. And I think it would go away, and it would be better if you went to six districts with eight teams, and then you can have wild cards. You wouldn't have to worry about it so much. So maybe that will happen in the next shuffle. I don't know.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate. Like I said, we weren't trying to run anything up or embarrass anybody or as a coaching staff, we were all talking on the headsets, and we came to the united decision that it's what we got to do, what's best for our kids. And I hate to be sitting there week nine and all of a sudden we have a three-way tie in our district, and we were out, and we didn't do everything we could to make sure we could get in. As it stands right now, we're on the outside looking in because we're plus 10 possibly if there's a tie. So I wanted to clear that up. I've been trying to clear it up the last couple of days. You'd be amazed at how people get upset over stuff like that. So hopefully people understand it wasn't a situation where we're trying to embarrass anybody. We're just trying to get to that 17-point differential.
Yeah, and you go with what the rules are given to you, and do the best right there. And it's hopefully, like I said, it'll change coming up in the future anyway. But looking ahead, not to look ahead too much, but there's a biggie coming up this week.
Oh, there's a mountain coming up this week, yeah.
Down in Iowa City against West High, and that's the first of the – you have a really tough district, and there's no doubt it's the toughest district in eastern Iowa from top to bottom. I mean, take a look at Lindmar. That's a good football team.
Yes.
And they're right there, but the first big hill to climb is Friday night against West High.
You know, we on a personal note, Coach Hartwick and I both got our jobs the same year.
Yep.
And we've had some good games over the last 3 years. That first year that we played each other, they scored a fourth quarter touchdown with just about a minute left to win. And then the second year we held on at the end to beat them. And then last year was a big play by Oliver Martin to kind of seal it for them. And so we have a good rivalry with them. It's a friendly rivalry. We play them multiple times in the summer in 7-on-7. And I've got a lot of respect for Coach Hartwig and what he's done down there. So, our kids enjoy playing their kids, and their kids enjoy playing our kids. And it's not dirty or nasty, or there's not a lot of talking. It's just a good, hard-nosed football game. So, I think we're going to be excited. I think they're going to be excited. They're a phenomenal football team. Their quarterback's a playmaker. They got a receiver that's a playmaker. Obviously, the Doyle kid is a dude, because he, you know, D1 guy, he's going to Iowa, and so, you know, it's going to be a fun atmosphere. It's going to be a great opportunity for us. I like it that we're going in as the clear underdog in this case, and sometimes the underdog rises to the occasion because they don't like being the underdog, and I think that's probably the, you know, the angle we'll play this week with our kids, you know, our seniors have had some success against the senior class in the past, so I don't think it's a case where we're going to go down there and be intimidated, and I don't think, you know, we intimidate them at all. So, you know, it's going to be a great football game, great high school football game.
Yeah, it will be, and that'll be fun in Iowa City coming up on Friday night. And a couple more, you got one more game at home, at least in the regular season after that, on senior night against Ottumwa. And obviously, if there was the classic trap game, that would be it. But because you close out at Prairie, when we see you next for that last game of the year.
And that's going to be another one. You know, Coach Bliss and Coach Dossel over there, and again, a lot of respect with the coaching staffs, and the kids know each other, and, you know, they've grown up playing against each other, and the two quarterbacks, Rainer and BJ, played on the same baseball team, travel baseball team for a while. So, you know, it's fun when you get those kind of matchups where, you know each other, and you don't have to worry about all the other stuff. You just go out and play a football game. And, you know, Prairie's a dynamite football team. I know they lost a pretty important player to them, but oftentimes when a team loses an important player, they rally around that and they get that much better. And I think that's going to be the case with Prairie. And obviously when they play that single wing offense, you know, the ball could be in the front row of the stands for all we know. Sometimes you never know where that dang thing is when Coach Bliss has gotten them spinning back there. So that's going to be a fun night. And, you know, it's good for football, and it's certainly good for Eastern Iowa football and Cedar Rapids football when you have those types of games this late in the season.
Yeah, and they were running Statue of Liberties last night, like that.
Yeah, well, there's another thing we're going to have to try and prepare for. Even at Christmas.
That's a lot of fun. But this group, it looks like they're having fun on the field and just having a really good time. And it was great atmosphere the other night, and boy, there was a ton of people there.
You know, we invited all of our All-State players back, and I think over 30 of them showed up, and they were on the sideline and in the locker room, and we gave them all the brothers and family t-shirts, and it was great having those guys back and in the locker room during the pregame and during halftime and postgame. And, you know, some of the comments that I got from the alum were, you know, walking into that locker room, that smell comes back to them, and they're right back to
it. That's not a good thing sometimes,
you know,
though,
it's,
but you
it's
remember that.
No, it's that Kingston smell, and you know, we're in the tunnel. We're kind of unique because we have the drum line come up in the tunnel with us when we come out on the field. And I kind of looked back, and I saw some of the alumni, and I think they were pretty intense. They were ready to strap them on and get out on the field with us. And, you know, Sean Beyer and Dallas Jacobus were out there, and, you know, you always take a look at them and think, you know, well they would still look pretty good in pads. But
probably better.
yeah, but both those dudes look pretty good, right? Terrence Hall from Coe's, you know, and Drolley, and, you know, and then Roger Burr was there, who was our first D1 football player and All-State football player, and was a bodyguard for Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, and he's back, and, you know, a 67 grad, and it was just a really neat atmosphere, and a lot of people there. We had a lot of people there, and that's always fun.
Did you ask him any Arnold stories?
You know, I really didn't get a chance to talk to him. I wish I would have.
I bet, you know, he's got some good ones.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
Probably a lot of them we can't say, can't say too much, but
right.
I bet there's some really good stories out there. I know the sophomores, I think, had their first loss the other night, but the lower levels are doing very well.
Yeah, tough loss for them. They're 5-1 right now, and, you know, they're going to play a good Iowa City West team on Friday, and they're looking to bounce back. And, you know, and a lot of people don't know this, we have 4 sophomores up at the varsity level with us, so they're missing probably their top, you know, 4 sophomores at their positions. And then, you know, our freshmen are 4-2 right now, so they're in pretty good shape, and we have moved 4 freshmen up to the sophomore level, so they're playing without, you know, some of their top kids as well, and are still successful. So, yeah, we're really excited about the direction of the program and the fact that, you know, kids are winning. Coach George Anderson is our head sophomore coach, and he does a fantastic job, and Coach Pat Corey is our head freshman coach, and he does a fantastic job. So really excited about the way our program's going. Our numbers are great right now, and we need to keep it that way because I know numbers are going down across the board in football. So we're happy.
Yeah, and, but and if you can keep everybody healthy, that's the next best thing, because you guys have been dinged up this year.
Been dinged up, and we're kind of getting over that hump finally. We're getting kids back, and you know, if we can roll down to Iowa City West next week with maybe only one or two kids in street clothes, that'd be a good thing. You know, we had two ACLs, and so those kids will be done for the year. But if we can get everybody else healthy, that would be good.
Yeah, you're down. I think you were down to a third string defensive end because, of course, Jordan Davis went out early in the year, and then Blake Sargent was out the other night. So
yeah,
that's getting a little thin at D end.
Yeah, getting thin.
Yeah. Well, Iowa City West coming up on Friday, and should be a fun one. We'll keep track of her.
Going to be exciting. Hopefully we come out on top. It'll be a tough one.
All right. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Scott.
All right. We'll take a break, come back, and have more of the Coach's Corner. So stay with us. More to come right after this here on KGYM.
The Cedar Rapids Parks and Recreation Department proudly supports sports for preschool through high school students with programs and facilities serving thousands of kids each year. This fall, try out a new sport at Jones Golf Course. Foot golf is a cool combination of soccer and golf played on the golf course with a soccer ball. You can play Mondays, Tuesdays, and Saturdays from 4 until dusk for only $10 per player, and no tee time is required. Enjoy all four Cedar Rapids golf courses this fall. Get info at playcedarrapidsgolf.com.
The cozy warmth after coming in from a chilly, pink-cheeked morning walk. The perfect man cave temperature to kick back and watch the big game. When the weather turns cold, a new Rheem heating system will surround your family in total comfort. Are you feeling it? Rheem, the new degree of comfort.
Feel the warmth this winter with a new home heating system installed by the local pros at Lynn's Heating and Air Conditioning. Call Lynn's today at 319-362-6435 or visit linsheatingandair.com.
We alarm our houses, and we alarm our cars. But when it comes to your personal information, it can be tough to know when something isn't right. That's where Discover Card can help. Now, we'll send you an alert if we find your social security number on any one of thousands of risky websites. And this service is free for card members. Just sign up online. It's our way of looking out for you, not just your account. Learn more at discover.com/freealerts. Limitations apply.
Guys, get to JCPenney today for Levi's lowest prices of the season, like 502 regular taper fit and 514 straight fit for $36.99 each. And check out what's new in our new big and tall shop inside the men's store at JCPenney. Get all your work to weekend apparel in extended sizes, up to 5XL and 54 waist in store and 60 waist at jcp.com. Hurry, sale ends soon. That's getting your pennies worth. JCPenney.
Offers represent savings on regular or original prices. While supplies last, some exclusions apply. Season refers to the time period from 9/14 to 10/9. See store at jcp.com for details.
Kevin Kugler here from Sunday Night Football on Westwood One. Hall of Famer Jason Taylor and I will have the action for you from Seattle as the Seahawks host the Indianapolis Colts. Led by a big game from T.Y. Hilton, the Colts picked up their first win last week. Now they face Richard Sherman and the Seahawks defense on Sunday Night Football. Join us and hear the NFL all season from Westwood One.
NFL Sunday Night Football, Indianapolis at Seattle. Sunday night at 6:30 on 107.5 and 106.3 FM KGYM, presented by Mediacom. Back with you at 9:30 here in the Coach's Corner program on KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us here today. And again, we've got a lot of football today and tomorrow. Get things started at 1 o'clock on the FMs, 107.5, 106.3 M with 3 FM with Before the Boom, the Hawkeye pregame show. Hawkeye postgame coming up immediately following Iowa, Michigan State. 5 o'clock at 1600 AM, it'll be UNI at Southern Illinois. And then after the postgame show tonight on the FM signals, from ESPN, it'll be Clemson at Virginia Tech, and that should be a good one in the ACC. Doubleheaders coming up tomorrow, tripleheader on the FMs of NFL football, doubleheader on the AMs, and so keep it right here, KGYM. If you want your football fix, we've got it for you, certainly, starting off later on today. Tim O'Brien here, the head golf coach for the boys at Cedar Rapids Xavier, and they're getting ready for a big meet coming up. That will be on Tuesday over at Elm Crest as the districts they're upon us already. Season goes quick in golf, doesn't it?
It sure does, Scott. It sure does.
Hey, first of all, I got to ask you, driving up north of the school, looking over there, and I see this bright neon sign now.
Yeah, that's awesome. Nick Ireland, our marketing director, worked with, I think, Nesper Signs and pulled that off, and so homecoming is next week, and that's just a tip of the hat to Nick on his work on behalf of our school. And
now, is that on the side of the school, or where's it at?
Yeah, and you know, honestly, I've been super busy with my golf team, so I'm going to fess up to a little bit of ignorance on it.
Well, tell you what, it pops, man. Yeah, it stands out.
Yeah, incredible. So we've been talking about it, and Nick was the instigator on that, and you know, our administration, and so tip of the hat to them, and I think that'll be really neat for homecoming.
Well, that'll be neat, and it looks good right there. And yeah, you got a little golf to figure out here in the next couple days, and hopefully through next weekend, right?
Right. Yeah. So we're hosting at Elmcrest on Tuesday, and looking forward to that. The boys have had a nice season. We're 69-21 for the season, and if we hit 80 wins, we'll be playing in Marshalltown, and actually, I believe that's the school record. So most wins that a Saints team has had in my 11 years, and so they've been rock solid this year. Looking forward to it. They've been getting in some practice rounds. I have a really solid group. I've had three players that have just played outstanding golf and pretty consistent throughout the season with. Brad Karpik, he just finished off his second Athlete of the Year award, being first over 54 holes in the MBC. What a tip of the hat to that young man for all the hard work that he's done. And Nick Raker, junior, first team all MBC. And then Ryan Keating, second team all MBC. And all three of those have been really solid all season. And Dan Bailey, has been our fourth player, and he's played quite a few rounds of quality golf for us, and so we're counting on him as well. And then we have some younger players that have helped us out this season. Sophomore Michael Glavin, and we've also had some junior Max Henderson, and then freshman Matthew Schmidt, and then we have one hopefully coming off the bench here on Tuesday, and. Matt Neumeier, who's been a four-year varsity letter winner for me and has had some injury issues this year, but I think he'll be ready for Tuesday, and I'm quite thrilled for that, and he'll be in the five spot on Tuesday, and so really looking forward to the competition. And we have some kids next year, too, that are going to help us reload with Paul Kies, Wes Johnson, and some others, and so There's a lot of good things going on in Saints golf. The kids have had a great season through the board. My assistant coaches, George Davis and Nate Green, have done a great job. Our JV team ended up 40-6, and freshman team 22-3. And the boys, I got to give a shout out. They had the 10 peat in the Ryder Cup, so Xavier's won it 10 years in a row. So they've taken some pride in that. So they had fun at Twin Pines on Wednesday and brought home the trophy, which is basically the trophy is a range bucket of range balls. So
whatever it takes.
The whole idea is that you get off the Ryder Cup team so that that you improve and end up at the varsity level. So
yeah, and things going very well. And yeah, it'll be a great venue to host on Tuesday to have the kids at Elmcrest and get a chance to play.
It's just I was out there yesterday, and it's just in excellent shape. And Clayton, the ground superintendent, does a marvelous job. And Larry Glatson and his staff, they just do an incredible job. And hosting districts is just a pleasure working with him. And actually, kind of interesting, have some pretty good players on Wash that are going to be competing, yep, too. And Connor Neighbors, I believe, was the Player of the Year on the other side of the division, and Brad was a player of the year on our side of the division, and Larry happens to be, I believe, both of their swing coaches.
Yeah, not too bad so far. It's interesting, though, the way the state divided everything up. The one at Cedar Falls is a meat grinder. Not that yours isn't, but you and Wash are kind of hosting the MAC Invitational. You are hosting the MAC Invitational on Tuesday.
Right, so there's 10 teams from the MAC, and then you have our team, you have Wash, and then you have Dubuque Wallard, who's been coming on strong. They ended up third behind Linmar and our team in our division. And then you have Ottumwa. And so, and then you have the 10 MAC teams. And kind of interesting. So Pleasant Valley and Bettendorf and are a couple of those teams that are pretty strong there. The Pleasant Valley team, I was talking to my friend from Clinton, Paul, who's the head coach over there, and he mentioned that they have three pretty good freshmen on their team, and so I think their 1, 2, and 3 players are freshmen, and so they have a pretty good team coming in, and so we'll see how they handle it. I know our team will be playing with Bettendorf and Pleasant Valley. They basically, it goes off the quick stats and where the standings are, where you get paired, so kids will be playing in threesomes, and everything's pretty much ready, set to go for Tuesday.
Yep, 9 o'clock, start things off.
Yes, yes.
Shotgun start, right?
Correct, yes. Yes, so we'll have 28 threesomes out on Elmcrest, and like I said, the course is in immaculate shape, and they always do a great job out there.
Yep, and getting into hosting, they had the state there a few years ago. So.
Correct, in 2015 we hosted the state tournament there, and actually this will be the third district that we've hosted at Elmcrest, and the Saints have been 2 for 2, so I'd like for that batting average to continue, and we did play ourselves in when we hosted state, we played ourselves in at Finkbein in the district that year, so hopefully things will come up roses for us on Tuesday, and the boys are playing well, and I'm confident they'll have a solid performance. I know in our divisionals, one of our goals this year was to try to get scores under 300, but not to exceed 310. And I was sharing with them the other day that when we played at Ellis Park, we were second out of 14 teams in the MVC, and we shot 308. We went up to Gates Park, which is a pretty long track, and we shot 297, which is a pretty nice score for high school golf. And then at Jones the other day, we shot a respectable 308. And so if they play that kind of golf on Tuesday, I'm pretty confident that that they'll get the job done in advance. And, you know, their mission is not just to qualify, but they want to go and do their very best to be able to win that district.
Yeah, and with that in mind, I know they're off today. They're at Marshalltown, site of the state tournament.
Correct, and tip of the hat to my assistant coach because he's with them today, and so they're playing a practice round at Elmwood today. We got our last practice round at Elmcrest in yesterday, and the one thing that about this team, Scott, that stands out to me is their dedication. You know, their willingness to do more than what's expected, and I'm a business teacher, and I have students compete in Business Professionals America, and I'm always telling them prior preparation prevents poor performance, and I've told my golfers that a few times along the way as well, and these young men are just really dedicated. They're doing the extra, what it takes to be able to win a district title, and then go compete at the state level and see what happens there.
Well, there, and talk about that. I mean, whenever we're out of St. Andrews, we see about 7 or 8 Xavier golf bags out there, either on the range or on the course.
Right, and that's we love being at St. Andrews. So they take such good care of us out there. So Todd Schultz and Mike Hall and Kevin Flanagan and the whole crew, and they treat us like kings. And the boys are able to get out there and practice on the range and get out on the course and when the course is open. And just that's just been an incredible experience for our golf team. And, And I am absolutely certain that it's made us a better team and a better program as a result of being out at St. Andrews.
Well,
and
you,
and I know you play out there because I see you at different times.
You got to, I tell you what, it'll teach you how to hit straight. And you use pretty much every club in your bag.
Right. You can't check your brain at the door either.
And the greens are fast.
Right. And I think that, you know, at Elmcrest and Elmwood, I think you're going to find a little bit of both of those things as well, that you have to be not only a good golfer, but a smart golfer and try not to get beat up too bad along the way.
Yeah. Well, before we even talk about the districts, you mentioned the fact that Brad Karpik was the player of the year, and you guys had a terrific performance in the MVC meets all along the line, and got second, but we're right there neck and neck with Coach James in the Lions.
Right, and actually, if somebody were to look at the cards, it pretty much came down to about the last four or five holes, and it could have been decided in that, which is really incredible. And tip of the hat to Coach James and the Lions and winning the MVC again. But it was a really good competition, and we kind of needed that fourth score that day in the 70s, and we didn't have that, but it was a lot of fun. We did some catching up at Gates, and we nipped them by five, and usually if you shoot 302, I told Coach James after the first divisional, I said, Coach, typically you shoot 302 at Gates, you walk away with a W. He looked at me like he knew. And because we were down seven going in to Gates, and so it was two strokes at Jones, and you played there, you know, that's nothing. So anyway, but I was pleased with the boys that you know, that even though we didn't come away with the conference title, that it was a respectable showing. And you have to play all three meets, as you probably know that, Scott, individually to qualify for honors. So we only have had four players that, with Matt Neumeier sitting out most of the season here, four players that qualified for that, and all four ended up either first or second team all-conference. So yeah. I was pretty pleased with that.
Yeah, that's great to see right there. And you mentioned Brad, and of course, an outstanding golfer as your top guys are. What's he do well? What's his strength out there?
You know, one of the things that, matter of fact, Coach Koepke from Jeff came up to me one day and said to me, you know, Coach, he handles himself like a college golfer does, and you know, he just is pretty steady and somewhat stoic on the course, and so that's the thing that I've seen about him is a maturity. And we were just talking last night, you know, it's tough to be on a good team sometimes when you're at the tail end, and Brad as a sophomore just missed playing in the state tournament. Matter of fact, if I, you know, was able to play seven at that time, then he might have been able to get in a round, but that didn't happen, and really motivated him to work hard. And I just say to my younger players, you know, take a lesson from Brad and see what he's done. And in the last 2 years, he didn't have to worry about not playing for the Saints. And so, but his entire game is pretty salty. I mean, he hits it as long as anyone I've seen this year in the state. His putting is outstanding. I mean, just all facets of the game. And if you're going to be in like the top 10 or 12 players in the state of Iowa in 4A golf, you better not have too many weaknesses or you won't be there for long. and I believe there's, you know, a lot of interest in that young man. They're not going to get just an outstanding golfer. They're going to get an outstanding person. His leadership this year has been just off the charts, as good as I've seen in my 11 years. And alongside of him, Ryan Keating has come along, and so those two are captains of the Saints team, and they've done just a really nice job of not only demonstrating their work ethic, but also doing it on the golf course and performing as well.
Yeah, and I know that probably you'd have a few guys that'd like to play some college golf down the line.
Right, and those two would be good picks for any school, I believe.
Yeah.
And their work ethic is just like I said, second to none.
Yeah, and getting better and better. And if you guys are able to advance, it's a very interesting statewide golf picture this year. And you got a lot of good teams. I don't know if there's that great team. Marshalltown's playing really, really well right now. But over in Central Iowa, Johnson's there. I know Dowling's got a really good team, and Valley's always got a really good team.
Right, and you know, and those are pretty much Marshalltown, Johnston, you know, Dowling. Don't count out Cedar Falls.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes, you know, as a coach, and I've been doing this long enough, they recently played at Airport and shot even par that day, and Elmwood's a 5,750 yards, and you better have a short game. And so, and then Waukee, who's won a number of state titles in the last 6 years, John Coates has done a great job with them, and then Valley, and then you have the MVC teams, Linmar and Wash and Wallert, and a variety of teams. But the one thing that is pretty challenging is to be able to play the state tournament on your home course. And so, you know, so we'll see what happens when we get there. But I really believe that there's a number of teams. And I think it's a little bit more wide open, Scott, this year than what I've seen in the past. I don't think that, you know, there's a total clear-cut, you know, favorite. You know, they're pretty much, you know, slated to win. And like I said, you know, I think the challenge for the Marshalltown team will be the fact that they're playing on their home course. So,
yeah. And you've seen them. You went over to Jester Park, I know, early in the year and had a chance to see a lot of the Central Iowa teams.
Yes, and Johnston is a good quality team, you know, as well. And they host that meet over at Jester Park, and so they'll be a team to reckon with. As a matter of fact, one of the times that we were over at Elmwood, I saw a couple of Johnston vans there. So, you know, so I know they're looking forward to that opportunity as well. And if you look through the four districts, I think they're pretty well evenly paired. Denny was mentioning me the other day about the top so many teams that we have in our district total is more than the others. And, you know, obviously the Pheasant Ridge one, there's four pretty good quality golf teams there, and someone's going to get left behind. And but we're really looking forward to opportunity to advance and to see not only what we can do collectively as a team, but I really believe I have some good individuals on my team that have a realistic shot to be able to be the right up there at the top of definitely in the top seven, which I believe that's who they award individually.
Yeah.
So I think they have an opportunity to be able to play 2 days of golf and do well there as well.
Yeah, and hopefully we get a lot of Metro teams through on Tuesday. That'd be the best thing, and see how you can do.
that would be awesome, and I know we've had a lot of people helping us along the way this year, and it's those behind the scenes things that are really a blessing. And our new activities director Andy Umpham's done an outstanding job, and we're meeting again Monday just to make sure we have everything ready for Tuesday's district, and our parents just support these young men and our coaching staff tremendously. And so I just couldn't be more pleased with what happens behind the scenes in Xavier Golf, and just appreciate that support. And without that, we wouldn't be as successful as what these young men have been this year and also in the past.
Yeah, and things going well, and hopefully they'll go well on Tuesday coming up. And always good to talk golf with you.
Scott, it's a pleasure, as always. And I'm sure that even after the season ends, you and I will see each other on the links.
We'll see. We'll compare notes and see how it's going. And see how much farther the kids are hitting it than we are.
As long as we quit being intimidated, we'll be okay.
Thanks, Tim. Appreciate it. Good luck on Tuesday.
All right. Thanks a bunch, Scott, for having me on.
All right. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap things up in the Coach's Corner. So stay with us. More to come right after this.
Happy Joe's isn't afraid of a tough matchup. They'll put their large pizza up against anybody else in town. Theirs is the biggest. That means they can feed families, fans, or whole teams until they're good and full. Their pizzas are famous, too. They originated the taco pizza, and it's still a fan favorite. Plus, everyone loves Happy Joe's VIP Club. It's easy to sign up, and you'll get exclusive offers and earn points towards a free pizza. Order online today from Happy Joe's two Cedar Rapids locations at happyjoescr.com. Delivery or carryout available.
If you're not a fan of change, well, that makes you pretty much like everybody else. But stuff's gonna happen. New car, new house, new baby. Maybe a new driver in the family. You have enough on your plate, so let your person take care of the insurance part. Just call or email. Let them know what's new and what's up, and they'll handle it. Nice. At Skokman Carlson Insurance, you have a person. Get to know yours at youhaveaperson.com. Supported by Integrity Insurance.
Guys, get to JCPenney today for Levi's lowest prices of the season, like 502 regular taper fit and 514 straight fit for $36.99 each. And check out what's new in our new big and tall shop inside the men's store at JCPenney. Get all your work to weekend apparel in extended sizes, up to 5XL and 54 waist in store and 60 waist at jcp.com. Hurry, sale ends soon. That's getting your pennies worth. JCPenney.
Offers represent savings on regular or original prices. While supplies last, some exclusions apply. Season refers to the time period from 914 to 109. See store at jcp.com for details.
Napa Know-How.
If you've ever come close to leaving an entire counter full of items at checkout just because someone asked you to join a rewards program, we feel your pain. Luckily, there's Napa Rewards. Joining is easy, and if you can simply remember your phone number, you can get $5 back on your next purchase for every $100 you spend. So join Napa Rewards today and start saving money with every purchase. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
It's going to wrap things up for the Coach's Corner on this Saturday morning. Iowa State will be playing Oklahoma next Saturday morning. That's an early start at 9, so we will not be with you next week here on the Coach's Corner program. And so hopefully we'll be back with you coming up in a couple of weeks. And again, high school football coming up this week. Thursday night, Waterloo East in town to take on Jefferson. And Friday night, it'll be Prairie at Linmar in a big 4A district game. That'll be on 1600 AM. 107.5, 106.3 FM. We'll get Marion at Clear Creek Amana coming up on a Friday night as well. And then the high school scoreboard show right after that, taking you through midnight. Please tune in Thursday and Friday night right here on KGYM. I want to thank my guests, Brian White from Kennedy and Tim O'Brien from Xavier. And you've been listening to the Coach's Corner right here on KGYM. We're going to get you to ESPN's College Game Day live from Blacksburg, Virginia, as they get ready for Virginia Tech and Clemson. Have a great weekend.
African-American player here at Virginia Tech was John Dobbins, and he said that his reception, he had grown up wanting to play for the Hokies.